the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. What was that guy's band? The Red Pistols? The Red Hot Pistols? Something?
Red Hot Pistol.
The Red Hot, well, Red Hot Pistol?
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's... Scotty freaks me out sometimes because he says stuff that's... It's so ridiculous that it almost becomes great. And I can't tell whether that's a good idea or a terrible idea that we locate, that we find a lead singer for that band. I honestly don't know. That's either the worst, most tedious idea I've ever heard, or it's a great idea. Can you, do we have that? Do you have their MySpace page? This is the, for Red Hot. This is a guy, what's his name? Jesse? Jeff? Bob? Ted? There's a lot of Jessies in the audience. There's like 100,000 guys. There are hundreds of millions of guys named Jesse who call the Rick Emerson radio program.
Hi there.
Hello.
He said to listen to the untitled one, right?
To the untitled one. All right. So this is Red Hot, but this guy called last hour, asking us to find a lead singer for him. Is he going to load? Should we take Roop first and then... All right.
Here we go.
Come on now, and...
Come on, Untitled.
Come on, come on.
This happens whenever we try to help out bands.
This would be like Rick Star Supernova or something. All right, sounds confidently recorded. Pre-chorus here. And here comes the hook. Let's hope it doesn't suck.
Oh, not yet. It's a delayed hook.
Making me wait for it. That's not bad. Maybe one of these should become the CBS corporate theme. CBS Radio Partner.
All right, we need to just pick up Jimmer. We can't get him on.
All right. Well, let's put a pin in this. Let's come back to this later. It's not a bad idea. Ladies and gentlemen, live from Los Angeles, it's welcome CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop to the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Let's go quickly before we stop somehow.
Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi. What's going on?
I don't know. What's going on with you?
I don't know. Were you just...
Sounds a little crazy today.
Were you just speaking to me when you said, let's go quickly before we stop?
Yeah, before we got cut off yesterday.
Oh, no. Speaking of which, Scotty, can you go find Jeff McGinley? From engineering, Jeff wants to come in. Jeff has something to say to Jim Roop.
You're still in this tunnel.
Are you able to hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Does it sound fine?
It sounds like you're on a speakerphone.
See, Lisa said the same thing earlier, and I just put it off to her being drunk.
And then she now thinks that Rick is actually off the air and broadcasting from his car.
It's true. I was talking to Lisa Goddard earlier, and she said, blah, 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 blah. You know, you sound like you're in a tunnel. And I said, well, you know, just with the phone. She said, oh, I just assumed you were doing the show from your car now. And I realized that actually you have no way of knowing. I could have been fired weeks ago for all you know.
Literally phoning it in.
Yeah, good. Absolutely, because we have this brand new phone and number and everything. I could actually just have been fired, and I could just be sitting on my sofa at home pretending that I just, like I did when I was 5 years old, pretending I'm a radio host.
Well, you know, bugs will get worked out. New studios have these problems, and the engineers work the bugs out, and everything's fine.
Yeah, no, you weren't around for the worst of yesterday. You weren't around for the yesterday when my and you will be happy to know, by the way, you called in around this time yesterday, and we were talking about something or other, and then the phone just went dead because you couldn't hear me. All you were hearing was our sister station, KUFO.
Yeah.
And then it just went dead, and that was really what triggered like a full-on Rick Emerson meltdown for like half an hour. I just sat and screamed at the condition of the studio. It was a lot of fun for everybody. It was awkward is what it was. So, anyway, the things are better. The phones are actually more or less flawless today. Everything is working more or less without errors.
Very nice.
All right. Hey, let's talk about this guy. What's his name? This guy, Lane Garrison, this guy from Prison Break. Now, this is another one of those stories that we had. It was like the Brandy thing. It was like a month ago.
December.
Yeah, it was that guy. He was in this car crash, and he's one of those. He was sort of a bit player, but everybody's kind of heard of him now. Now,
yeah.
My thing is, what is the... Because it was him and like three 15-year-olds or two 15-year-olds?
A 17-year-old and two 15-year-olds.
Now, have they explained what the relationship was between him and all of these teenagers?
Well, what he told officers originally was he met those teens at a grocery store, and they invited him to a party. He went. When he took them from the party that was going to take them back to the grocery store is when the car jumped the curb and hit a tree.
Right.
The cops now say...
Yes?
I'm sorry, I'm hearing conversation?
No, that's okay. That's an off mic. That was Scotty J. Babbitt.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
The cops say what they've investigated and what their investigation shows them is that he was at the party with them. They left to go get alcohol. He was turned down at one place, went to another place, and that's when the accident occurred. And he was doing about 45 miles an hour when the car jumped the curb. And he not only had alcohol in his system, more than the one drink he claims he had.
Well, that's the thing.
But there's also cocaine in the system.
See, that's the thing is everybody starts off with that is the universal playbook.
I only had one drink.
The same thing Paris Hilton did. I had one margarita. That's it. Mel Gibson said the same thing. Everybody claims that they had the one drink and that they, quote, hadn't eaten today. That's the other thing. You go, well, I had one drink and I hadn't eaten all day.
Now, he refused to blow alcohol, so they had to take blood.
Right.
And the blood results just came back, which is why the Beverly Hills Police Department just decided that they were going to seek charges against
right.
him.
Right. So it's gonna work out badly for him.
Oh, gosh, yes.
It's weird. We were talking about when this story first happened, they were talking about him. It was what, a boy and two girls in the car with him?
Yeah.
First of all, how old is he?
Who knows? 26, I think.
Can't he find people his own age to play with? So get some friends your own age, pal.
I don't know what that's all about. He killed that 17-year-old kid.
Oh, God. I mean, who knows what kind of relationship he had with these other teenagers. But, I mean, that's a thing that you don't come back from the way you used to. Nobody really remembers the fact that Rob Lowe got caught diddling some underage girls on camera back in, what, the 86 or something like that?
A long time ago.
I mean, that's one of those things that he's sort of a pillar of the political left now.
He didn't kill anybody.
No, he didn't kill anybody. But Vince Neil from Motley Crue did. And, the media makes it a lot harder to get away with that stuff than it used to
be. Well, there's plenty of pictures of him leaving the funeral of this kid crying. I mean, this Garrison is definitely broken up about it. I mean, how could he not be? He didn't intend for anything like this to happen when he set out for a good time that night. And now it's just all resurfacing again. It's something he'll live with, like Brandy. She'll live with this her entire life, no matter what happens, criminally or civilly. You know, this is going to weigh on her for the rest of her life. And same thing with this guy. So, I mean, to me, man, in situations like this, yeah, they should be accountable for whatever reckless actions. But this is a sentence that they'll never be released from.
No, it's a bad no. I did kind of, yeah, that's. And that just kind of dogs you forever and ever and ever. Yeah.
I mean, unless you have no soul, but for Christ's sake.
Well, that's, that's only us.
I sold mine a long time.
That's just not because I was referring to us here in the studio, but
if
you'd like to be on board with that, too, that's you're more than welcome, sir. All right, fantastic. Well, that sucks. Is it just from the ridiculous to the sublime? Is there some guy in California banning light bulbs?
Well, we have a legislator, an assemblyman, a Democratic assemblyman, who says, and, you know, rightly so, I mean, he's making sort of a joke out of the title, because the title of this bill is, how many legislators does it take to change a light bulb back?
Okay.
That's why he's getting a lot of press. But, yeah, he wants to outlaw or ban incandescent light bulbs because a 75-watt incandescent light bulb pumps out 1,300 pounds of carbon dioxide. It only converts 5% of its energy to light. And these 20-watt compact fluorescent bulbs.
Are those the ones that are all spirally and weird looking?
Some of them are.
They look like spiral pasta.
Yeah. Some of those energy-efficient bulbs are like that. But these 20-watt bulbs will give you just as much light as a 75-watt incandescent. Doesn't pump out the carbon dioxide that these things do. And it saves you $55 over the life of the bulb.
Do you ever think about how much of your brain is stored filled with this kind of information? Like how many pounds of carbon dioxide
I'll
are
forget
you...
it next week. I
mean, the inside of your brain has just got to be like that Raiders of the Lost Ark room.
I don't know a whole lot. I just know very little about a lot of things.
You just know a lot of talking points that you've committed to memory for a day.
And, you know, and some of that makes sense, you know. There was another piece of legislation that was supposed to be introduced today, banning spanking.
We talked about that last week. I just like any news story where there's a lot of stories about spank bill comes before Senate. that's all I need.
This particular assembly person decided not to introduce that legislation.
Hey, would you like to hear a guy whose day went a whole lot worse than yours yesterday, no matter how your day went?
Yeah.
A circus sword swallower who skewered himself in front of a live audience in Croydon has returned to the stage. Hannibal Hamurto, 30, tried to force a 4-foot-long saber down his throat on the Croydon leg of the tour. I guess this happened in November. But the German performer accidentally stabbed himself when his sphincter failed to open because of a throat infection.
I didn't know the two were connected.
Well, apparently there's some disagreement, not disagreement, there's some confusion among the Rick Emerson audience about what sphincter we're talking. They claim you have a throat sphincter, which I thought that was like a Linda
You're
Lovelace.
You're a throat sphincter.
You're a throat sphincter. Sphincter? I barely knew her.
When his throat refused to open.
I guess. And this
should have said, ah.
And apparently his stage show sees him insert huge hat pins through his scrotum and face, and then drink water and squirt it out through the holes. Off his face.
Oh. I was going to say,
That's exactly what I said.
That was exactly Sarah's reaction yesterday, by the way. So there you go. So no matter how, but our question is this. Look, even assuming you have some so-called throat sphincter, can we all agree right now that that's the worst phrase of the week? Throat sphincter. Why have I never heard of that? If I have a throat sphincter, why has no one ever told me? That's the kind
Will
of thing I want to know about.
Please.
What else am I supposed to call it?
I think I'm going to ask my doctor.
Ask your doctor.
Throat sphincter. Can you check that for me?
Ask your doctor if you have throat sphincter. Why has no one ever told me that I have that part, if I have it? That's the kind of thing, that's the kind of information I could have used before this.
Seems a fun thing to say.
Yeah, it seems like there ought to be a punk band called Throat Sphincter. My question is this, is that it's a 4-foot-long saber. Now, even if your so-called throat sphincter opens properly, you don't have 4 feet of just like wide open highway there before it starts taking a lot of U-turns. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Your body's a series of windy tubes.
And where's it going?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand. No, you don't have 4 feet.
At the most, you got 2 feet.
No, I was just...
From your throat into your esophagus, there's like a foot, maybe two.
Miss Scotty, come here.
It depends on how tall you are, I guess.
Come stand over here.
Oh, that's true.
How long
are
you?
We're very short.
Hold on.
Like an inch and a half.
All right, now from Scotty's throat...
Yes, keep pointing.
Where do you suppose that Scotty begins... Where do you suppose that Scotty's innards begin bending? Is it around his midsection?
Maybe you should rub his stomach and find out.
Maybe you should kill me.
Push on it, see if he farts.
Are you really?
This guy works for CNN.
Are you sure that you're not calling from home? Are you sure that you're not really just calling from your car?
There's nobody in the next cubicle.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we'll figure this out and get back to you, sir. All right, Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your Southern California afternoon. I'm going to be down there. I won't be in L.A. I'll be in San Diego, but I might swing through L.A. I don't know, sometime in the next couple weeks.
Will you call me?
I will. We used to fly.
You weren't interested in me calling you when I was in L.A.
Yeah, no. I told you to call. You never did. I assumed you didn't want to.
You break my heart.
What is the deal when you were in L.A.? I thought you were gonna swing by the CNN building and say,
you know. Yeah, I told you, forgot what she said, but I got.
We couldn't find parking spots anywhere, so we ended up driving around.
Sitting in his cubicle all weekend long, waiting for a phone call that would never come.
See? That's what I just said, right here in this gray room.
Sitting there weeping into his brandy. Sitting there weeping into his Bosco, waiting for you to give him a call. You have never sounded, Jim Roop, more like a woman in your life than you just did just now. I'm gonna be there. Will you call? So yeah, baby, I'll call.
Serious. I mean, will you?
I don't know. I'm not.
Wow,
sure.
Putting the pressure.
You need to have some personal information of mine.
No. Does this involve the number of partners you had?
No, thank you. I was going to go there too, Sarah. Thank you. Thank you.
Look, I've had this burning sensation, and perhaps you want to talk to your doctor. All right, I don't know. I'll let you know. It's going to be like 3-4 weeks. I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
There you go, singing the radio correspondent and creepy guy, Jim Roop. Miranda Hug and Kiss. All right, hello, Rick Emerson. All right, hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey,
this is
Aaron.
All right, hold on a second.
Oh, what?
I just got to find the sound here. Just hold on.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Aaron Geek in the city to Rand. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
What's up?
Believe it or not, I'm calling about sphincters.
Okay.
Well, of course you are.
Well, it's okay. Technically, any type of muscle mass that only allows something to go one way is a sphincter. So you do have more than one.
But where are the other ones?
Your throat would have one because you're not. It only goes one way. It forces food down
What if he's grow up?
So if you have something in your... How do I put this?
Yes.
So according to your definition, if you have something in your body that allows things to go both ways, it's no longer a sphincter?
Yes. I don't know. I'm flipping through like a biology question. That's what it says.
Are you sure you don't know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You sure about that?
No.
Okay. There you go. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's Aaron Durant. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, you got two sphincters, one on either end of your stomach.
Your mom's got two sphincters.
There's a cardiac sphincter at the top of your stomach and a pyloric sphincter at the bottom of your stomach.
So which one is this guy trying to ram a sword through, and why would you do that, really?
Probably the cardiac, because if he can get it through the cardiac, he can gain a little bit extra room getting the thing down into his stomach.
Do you have 4 feet between the opening of your throat and the bottom of your stomach?
No, but they probably measure the sword handle, which, you know, could be a foot or a foot and a half.
Oh, that's true,
sir. There's a certain amount of sword still sticking out of the throat.
All right.
And then he can probably get 2 to 2.5 feet down to his stomach.
So the actual sword is probably only maybe 2.5, 3 feet, you're thinking.
Yeah, it's all marketing. It's like potato chip bags.
You know, it's like that little
90% air and 3% crumbs.
It's like that little. It's like that cardboard tray that they put candy bars in now, so it looks like you're getting a lot more than you are.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right, there you go. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
You actually get 4 sphincters.
Okay, I'm not a cow. I don't have 4 sphincters.
There's the one everybody thinks about, and there's one at the top of your stomach, one at the bottom of your stomach, and there's the aortal sphincter on your heart.
You've got a heart?
Heart sphincter. So there's the butt one, and then there's one on either end of your stomach.
Yep.
And then there's another one where?
It's the aortal sphincter. It's on your heart. It keeps your blood from flowing backwards.
Aortal sphincter.
Oh, okay.
Can we agree that sphincter is the most unpleasant word on
very
Earth?
Impossible.
All right.
It does make you want to scratch something.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. All right. This is better than yesterday anyway, when people were calling up trying to be nice, and then they would just end by like, kill yourself! Like, that was how every phone call ended. Alright, it's 503-733-2970. Here's what we got coming up, later on. We have, where did I put this? Coming up later on, we have CNN Radio. No, we don't. I guess we've done that. We have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. That's what I meant to say. Coming up later on, we have Oregonian TV critic Peter Carlin, who will be with us. We have Scotty J from the Ministry of Truth. We'll also do a little suburban perspective. Maybe when we get back, we'll do that. What else do we have? We'll try to roll the top five as well. Oh, we got to give away these DVDs. Hey, Scotty, let me forget about this. This Farce of the Penguins, this Bob Saget thing. Why are you doing this? Am I being punished for something?
Happy.
Yeah, when one thing's happy, one thing's Morrissey. He is the happiest guy on earth. Okay, 503-733-2970. We're back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson. Hello.
Hi.
It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
I saw that I was busy.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your...
I'm scrounging change for the bus. Okay?
Oh, I thought you were flying makeup.
No, I'm trying to find enough change to actually be able to ride the bus home.
Radio is glamorous.
I know.
503-733-2970. Make that Raul come pick you up. Make your new gentleman friend come get you at work.
Oh, Raul has a job.
I like you have to make that observation. No, this guy has a job.
Is he in a band?
No.
Does he deal with bands?
No.
Is he a booker?
No.
Promoter?
Nope.
Roadie?
Nope.
Okay.
You know, sure?
If you do it just right and you have some kind of thing going on your show where we actually find this person, you can reveal the person at your next listener party and have them play a little bit in the band at the party and stuff. I mean, it could be huge.
Why do you let him talk?
What are you talking about? Sorry. Okay. 503-733-2970.
This isn't made a bigger deal than it is.
I don't know.
This is somebody randomly got on a few dates with.
I don't even know what we're talking. I think Scotty's talking about something else altogether.
I am, crazy.
And I apologize.
All right.
I thought you were talking about the guy for the red hot pistols.
No, yeah. I'm not sure whether we're going to do that or not. We'll have to think about that. That seems like the kind of thing that would either be great or terrible. You know what I mean? Like if it's a band. The good thing about it is they've already got their instrumental tracks done. And so all we would have to do is just have people call up and just shriek over the phones, and then they pick a guy, and then blah, blah, blah. 503-733-2970. And then we've got this Bob Saget DVD to give away, this farce of the penguins thing. Would you like to... I don't know if I'm supposed to tell the story behind this or not.
I think you should.
Thank you. Okay, so there you go. So one of our sister stations... How do I put this? I got an email, and then we'll get this call, and then we'll do the news, and then we'll do Suburban Perspective. Scotty J. is here for Tim Riley. You're doing a good job today, by the way, Scotty. You know, you've ramped up a lot as the week has gone on. Peter Carlin's going to be here later on, like us at 3, etc. We got this email. I got this email from someone who works at another station. I'll just say that. There's another station in the cluster, as they say, another station that we're here as part of CBS Radio Portland. And they got a bunch of DVDs to give away. And it was for this, they always kind of sucker you in because they say, we have an exciting new DVD for you to give away, directed by Bob Saget, you know, featuring the voices of Louis Black, Christina Applegate, and Samuel L. Jackson, Tracy Morgan, Monique, and 50 more comedy stars. And you hear that, right? You're like, okay, Sam Jackson, Louis Black, Bob Saget, fantastic, great. And so they get this DVD, it's called The Farce of the Penguins, and apparently it's just a bunch of, this is the feeling I'm getting anyway, it's a bunch of animated penguin porn. That's apparently
Bob Saget's a freak.
He really is. Well, it's written and directed, apparently.
Yeah.
Written and directed by Bob Saget. And apparently, the website just has a bunch of, I swear to God, the website just has a bunch of pictures of penguins engaged in the most explicit sexual activity you've ever seen in your life. So they decided that these DVDs were not suitable for this radio station, and her first call was to me. She said, so I thought you might want to give these away on your show. So we have some of these.
Oh, totally.
Now on DVD, would you like to hear the copy?
Yes.
This is, I'm just going to read you the copy. This is directly off the, page. Now on DVD, what happens in Antarctica stays in Antarctica.
Oh, good God.
Until now, the sex-crazed world of penguins is exposed in a comedic spoof that crosses every line. Farce of the Penguins, written and directed by Bob Saget and narrated by Samuel L. Jackson. Meet Carl and Jimmy, two cold penguins on a mission to get themselves some hot booty. After years of empty one-night stands, Carl, the penguin, wants more than a piece of penguin tail. Someone had to write this. Someone with a degree in marketing had to sit and write this and then go home and drink themselves blind. It's a raunchy yet heartwarming road trip like no other. The DVD contains the featurette, and again, this takes place in Antarctica. The DVD contains a featurette called Trip to the Earth's Ice Hole. Be a, shades of Annie Wilkes, be a dirty birdie and own Farce of the Penguins on DVD today. Rated R. So we'll be giving that away. 503-733-2970. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. How can I help you?
I'm just pleased to be calling from Miami, Florida. So, you know, I miss you guys.
You're actually in Miami, Florida now?
Yeah.
Do you live there?
No, I live in Portland. I came from Miami. I called you a bunch of times.
Oh, you called before.
I met the lovely Sarah Dillon. I drank with her one night.
That's an exclusive club. But where are you now?
Miami, the center of Miami, Florida.
And so, but I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, are you just on vacation or something there?
I just came to set up the halftime show for the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's cool.
And I go back to driving there. I miss you guys, man. I need you here.
What do you do? What is it that you, when you say you're going to set up the halftime show, what is it? Are you?
I just have connections with the union. On the weekends, I work for the stagehand union. During the week, I'm a driver with Luke, Sarah's buddy.
Ah, okay. All right.
So
you're down there. Do you get to go to the game?
Yeah, kind of. I got to kind of be there in case anything goes wrong.
Oh, I see.
So you're working the Super Bowl?
Okay, somebody catches on fire or a boob falls out or something?
Bolt falls off and hits whoever in the head, like what happened to that guy.
Okay. Well, Jesse, God bless you. Well, travel safe, sir, and let us know when you get back to Portland, all right? So travel safe, my friend.
Yeah, man. What's up with the topic of the day?
this and that. Just talk about any number of things. How's
right on.
Yeah,
the Courtney Love thing,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, how's the liquor in Florida?
Oh, man, there's no taps, no such thing.
Really? What are you drinking?
Yeah, but all the beers suck.
What are you drinking down there?
What am I drinking right now?
Yeah.
Natty Ice.
All right. Okay, excellent, sir. Well, I said we got to move on to some other things. Thank you for giving us a call. Enjoy the game, and we'll see you when you return.
Thank you very much,
all right,
sir.
Thank you. All right, thank you. There you go.
That's pretty cool.
Hello, Rick Emerson program. Hello.
Hi, Rick. I was just wondering what it would take to get a farcical copy of some Penguin movie.
I got this email. This is from Rick. Farce of the Penguins is not animated. It is a live-action parody of March of the Penguins. Not animated. Not for kids.
What?
Not funny. That's this email.
Well, it actually looks like you might get two or three good laughs out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But he does have a really sick sense of humor.
Well, Bob Saget is a deeply disturbed individual.
Right.
There is no getting around that.
Not doing the very family-oriented stuff on TV. He's doing really off, un-PC colored humor on stage.
I remember just watching, seeing him on Entourage when Bob Saget was on Entourage.
Right.
And
don't you
F my daughters, Vince. Don't you F my daughters.
Who do you think is more recognizable, me or you?
Totally. All right, well, we're going to be giving that DVD. We've got five copies, so we'll be giving them like one away for the next 5 days or so. So be listening, sir.
I always do, Rick. Have a good day.
Thank you, my friend. You as well. All right, let's go to the Ministry of Truth with Scotty J.
Now, from the Ministry of Truth.
Scotty J. Genius.
Speaking of animal X-rated porn, Sienna Miller and Hayden Christensen are said to be convincing in their factory girl love scenes. The reason? The sex is for real.
PR spin.
I really, totally, try to come see this movie that no one will care about otherwise. That's totally what that is. And I don't even understand.
I'll totally go and watch that movie. They've had to reshoot it like six times. It sounds like
I'm sure they did because they enjoyed themselves, apparently.
Okay, read the slug again. Read the headline again.
Sienna Miller and Hayden Christensen are said to be convincing in their factory girl love scenes. The reason? The sex is for real.
Thank you. You hear that about so many films. I've lost. That's the thing about every 10 years, a movie will come out, and they'll just claim that the people on the screen are really, like, humping it out. And I don't care.
I don't care either.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. A, would you like to know? Who wants to know why I don't care? Because, first of all, I mean, don't you just assume that happens a lot in movies? Don't you just figure? I mean, look. I mean, I'm not trying to work blue. I'm not trying to be offensive and to engage in Puritan dialogue. I'm simply saying, there you are. You're some hot guy and you're some hot chick and you're underneath bed covers on a set. And you're supposed to be rolling around nude and making out with each other for like 9 hours during a film shoot. Eventually, you get bored. You're doing the same thing over and over again. You know, all right, I need you to place your hand on the small of his back. All right, now, yank her left ear, you know, or whatever. You just get so bored, you got to do something to spice it up. So you got to figure that if you're even remotely attracted to each other, eventually you just kind of make eye contact. You're sort of what do you figure? You want to? And then she just kind of goes, yeah, okay. And then you just, there you go, bada bing. I mean, I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just saying, I just sort of assume that, why wouldn't you? I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, who cares? So, secondly, so what? So there, I mean, are we really at this point in 2007 when there were the big story is that apparently some people are actually going to have sex on film and I'll be able to watch it? I've got the internet at home. I can watch it right now. I can watch that with probably people that are better looking than Hayden Christensen. Like, I want to see Hayden Christensen having sex also. I don't really know any women out there that get all hot and bothered at the thought of seeing Anakin Skywalker getting his groove on. So, whatever. And Sienna Miller didn't do anything for me. Is it Sienna or Sierra?
Sienna.
I saw a picture of it. It didn't do much for me. I don't care. So, and that's not real anyway. It's just some spin, as Sarah pointed out, to try to get people to go see a film that no one's going to see because they've had to reshoot it 100 times.
Oh, I'll see it.
Well, you'll only see it because it's got Bob Dylan in it.
Yeah, and also Andy Warhol kind of fascinates me. Like, the whole dynamic between him and
what's her name? Nico?
Yeah.
Or Edie Sedgwick or whatever.
Yeah, that whole clan, it's just, it really does fascinate me. I'm going
to
watch it.
There's a way that you can judge these movies, too, by the way. If it's easy to swallow like a greasy bag of popcorn, you know, you can be all for it.
I don't understand.
Okay. Moving right along.
Whatever. And who plays Bob Dylan? Is it Jake Gyllenhaal?
It's like... No, I'm sorry.
It's not Bob Dylan.
No, Christensen plays.
It's like Rob Gyllenhaal.
No, I think Hayden Christensen plays Bob
Christensen
Dylan.
But it's not Bob Dylan. It's the Bob Dylan-esque character.
Yeah, the Bob Dylan. And I guess a woman plays him at some point, too, during his...
No, you're confusing films. That's a Bob Dylan... That's a movie about Bob Dylan coming out, in which he is played by several people, including Cate Blanchett.
Okay, that is what I'm thinking about.
This is a movie, and they can't even say Bob Dylan. They had to change the name because Bob Dylan was like, I'll sue you. And so they...
That was pretty good.
Yeah, and so they've had to change it again. It's like Rob... Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah, they changed it to somebody. Yeah, but yeah, it's like Rob Millen.
It says that he models Bob Dylan.
It's Bob Dylan, but it's clearly, you know, whatever. And Lou Reed, you know, is all pissed off about it, too. And I don't really care about Andy Warhol. That's just a thing I'm not really interested in. All right. Let's see. What are we... hello, Rick Emerson Show.
I was just curious if I can get a copy of one of those DVDs of the Penguins if I come down in my fursuit and give Rick Emerson a hug.
In your
yes.
Fur...
Wait, what's your fursuit, first of all?
Is your fursuit like your birthday suit?
No, it's an animal costume. I have a deer, an otter, and a wolf. He can have his pick.
Oh, you absolutely should. A deer, an otter, and a wolf?
Wait, are you... Now, I say this with respect, sir.
Can you bring them all?
Hold on. Now, are you a furry?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so you have... I thought furries picked one animal and stuck with it. That was kind of their deal.
Well, I'm working up to building a dragon suit, so I have to have all three.
Well,
so I'm working on practicing up to get my ultimate ideal form.
Well,
now, do you have a couple of friends that you could perhaps stick in the other two costumes after you pick the one that you wear, and then you guys can all come down and hug Rick one by one?
I could probably get at least two, maybe three.
So I'm going to be hugged by a procession of furries.
Animal sex on with other people in suits, presumably, for this movie. That's really, I'll do anything for that.
This seems like a Friday. What are you doing tomorrow? Would you be able to come in tomorrow?
Shoot, I'm in Eugene tomorrow.
So it would have to be today. It would have to be today or Monday.
Monday.
Am I really planning this?
Let's do it Monday.
I'm gonna sit back. Why don't you plan this out?
Can you come in on Monday?
Sure, I can work something out to come in on Monday. I can't guarantee two people, but they'll at least be me.
You are more than enough, my friend.
All right, Sarah, what is the email? Can you give that out of the air, an email address he can reach you at?
Yeah, just...
Okay, Sarah, we're going to give you an email address, and contact Sarah at this email address and kind of figure it out.
It'll be sarah@970.am.
I'm writing this down.
Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, sarah@970.am.
Excellent. I'm glad you said the H on there. I would have missed that.
Yeah, sarah@970.am. We'll set one of those aside for you.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
Sarah.
So we'll see you on Monday.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, there you go.
Oh, that's what you need. You need a man in a big squishy costume.
That's what I need. I need a furry. I'm putting you on hold. Hang tight. All right, there you go. Yes?
What's a furry?
Well, that's why I had to end that call soon, because otherwise I would have ended up doing the whole interview here. When in reality, we can just talk about this on Monday. A furry, not to be confused with a plushie. I think you would actually not yet join the program when we went through our whole furry fascination phase. Because I know you think I've got a foot fetish. And it's really not. It's just that I'm fascinated by bizarre shades of human sexuality.
Like the sneezing fetish.
I'm not into any of these things, but I do find them fascinating. Like, you probably find stuff fascinating that you're not into. Not even just sexually, just whatever. Just, you know, stuff. Just things that are like, well, that's bizarre. I'm not trying to... Whatever. I don't care what anybody does. I'm not judgmental. Rick Emerson is not a prude. I'm just saying... Furries... Okay. There's plushies, which, as I understand, are people who are into, like, actual stuffed animals. And I mean literally into stuffed animals. And then there are furries... Which are people who, they're into the anthropomorphizing, you know, of giving animals human characteristics and so forth. And the furries are people who have these huge, life-size, like mascot suits, basically, but much more realistic.
Do they hump it out in mascot costumes?
Well, it's not just the humping. It's a whole lot of, it's a lifestyle,
I believe. Is it like role-playing? Like they play the animal?
Yes, it is a whole, it is role-playing, and then I believe it is a well-rounded life that they act out, including the humping.
Okay.
But it's not just that. And I know it sounds like I'm like from the furry, whatever, anti-defamation league. I'm just saying, early on, I had a lot of people in the audience who were in that lifestyle, and they corrected me about it. And they said, well, they're tired of being misrepresented and whatever. And I actually have I won't use his name, but there's a someone who emails us a lot, who I don't think he wants to be identified publicly, but there's someone who emails us a lot that the audience might recognize who is into that, who lives that lifestyle.
Hmm.
I'm not trying to be teased, like, you know, I know his name and you don't. I'm just saying it's more widespread than you would think. So, you know, because the Rick Emmers and we're a Big Ten. We pass no judgment, you know, whatever adults do is what adults do. I don't care. And look, I mean, if we're going to try to have me hugged by a wide variety of people, you really can't get more different than Christine Levine and a man dressed as a woodchuck. I mean, there's really no, you can't find two more
far. That's going to be awesome.
Far afield things.
Well, we need to find somebody else. Maybe Peter Carlin can get
you one
today.
You got to find somebody to hug me for today and tomorrow, then. It's all on you.
Okay.
All right.
It won't be that hard. We should do some news.
I don't care about Hayden Christensen having sex. Let's move on.
All right, we've moved on. This just in, some breaking news, unfortunately.
Wait, hold on. Breaking news. Is this sad breaking news?
Yes.
Wait, hold on.
State police in Lyons, Oregon, which is just outside of Salem, have reported that two people have died in their car as they collided with a school bus on Highway 226. Troopers say only two students were on the bus at the time. They were not injured. And the bus driver was not injured as well.
Yeah, buses always win that fight. Right. So try not to hit a bus, because you're going to come out of the losing end of that equation.
More details are under investigation at this time.
We won't be reporting them.
Time now for a cannibal watch.
Here's your cannibal watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Straight out of Paris, where French fries are made, a French prisoner who killed his cellmate very probably ate some of the victim's body parts. A prosecutor in the northern town of Rouen said on Friday. The victim's body was discovered in a prison cell on Wednesday, so there's a lot of days here that are a little bit confusing. But
like Wednesday. What the hell is with Wednesday?
Well, Friday and today's Thursday and Wednesday. And anyways, the victim's body was found with a large wound to the chest. The alleged killer who shared the cell told investigators that he had removed and eaten his victim's heart. Investigators initially discounted the possibility of cannibalism after the victim's heart was found intact and in its usual place, and in a membrane, which was also
The word membrane is terrible.
You don't want to hear dangly things.
What? The membrane isn't a dangly thing.
It just sounds dangly.
Let me ask you this. What's worse, the word membrane or the word sphincter?
Sphincter. Membrane doesn't bother me that much.
I find the word membrane really off-putting. That's a terrible sound. Just the word membrane is really bad. All right.
An autopsy revealed the pieces of muscle from the victim's rib area, though, were missing.
Oh, God.
All right. And you know how they recover that, too. They wait around the other end to see if there's the evidence of... All right, let's end that. There's your number one.
With the Super Bowl coming up, this is straight out of New York, and Oscar season coming up as well, getting underway. Followers of fashion are being urged to monitor celebrities on the red carpet and report any out-of-place bra straps to the strap police. With the bra straps transformed from a practicality into a hot fashion item...
You don't know anything about this story. The story is confusing to you?
No, I'm just looking at it.
All right, why don't you pre-read here while I take a couple of these phone calls. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey there, Rick. This is Erica. I'm the supernova stenographer for the concert.
Oh, right. Yes. You're actually going to see Rockstar Supernova.
I'm actually going to see Rockstar.
You sound really excited about it.
Man, you know, in-law bought the tickets for us when Storm, you know, in the beginning, and they went on sale and blah, blah, blah. So... we come to find out, obviously, Storm was not invited to come to the show.
Yeah, you will get to see Delana up close, though. Lucky you.
Yeah. I don't want to see Delana. I got these tickets. I want to get rid of them, but I want to go see, because I want to go see Storm. She's playing at Dante's that night, right?
Maybe. That's the rumor. I don't know that that's true.
It's a conundrum, Rick. What do I do? I'm calling for advice.
So you want to get rid of these Rockstar Supernova tickets.
I saw Lucas Rossi up close. Not much to look at. And he seems a little wasted.
Yeah, and he's like 3 feet tall. And yeah,
I don't know. And it seems like that band's kind of imploding anyway, so I think you'd probably get... About 40 minutes.
How much were the tickets?
She spent $60 on them. I know.
Yeah, well, but obviously there's got to be somebody out there who's interested in those. I don't know. I mean, it might, look, it's probably worth going just so you can say that you were there. So that's kind of the epilogue to the whole story. You know, you kind of close it out. As far as that conflicting with anything else that's happening that night, I don't know. That's between you and your God. I would just try to unload those on Craigslist if you don't want to go. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah, well, if you can't verify at this point that
I would say watch Storm's website to find out what any of that band may be doing. I think I think they're trying to there may be some news over there, but it would be premature right now for me to say anything about Storm and the Balls.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot, and I'll keep you updated
all
as
right.
we go. I'll raise a ruckus.
Please do. Thank you.
Kick back or something, you know.
Thank you, Erica.
All right, bye.
There you go. That's Erica. All right, let me do these, and then we'll move on. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Okay. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I'm a clinical psychologist and a fan. I was just wondering how Rick's therapy is going, and I'm wondering if he's in the right kind of therapy.
I don't know.
I'd like to help him figure it out.
You're talking to Rick.
No, this is Rick. I'm answering the calls on screen today.
Oh, is this Rick?
Yeah, what's your name?
You can call me Dr. Dave.
Dr. Dave. All right. Is that you? Is that you? Okay.
So how's the therapy going?
Sarah?
Are you in the... What kind of therapy are you in, or do you know?
How would I know? Laura asked me that the other day, my wife. She said, it's like how George Bush is the decider. She asked if my shrink was a prescriber. She's like, is he a prescriber? And I said, well, aren't they all? And she said, no, they have to be a certain kind. What does MSW stand for?
Oh, that's a master's in social work.
Okay, that's what he is. He's blah, 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 comma, MSW.
Well, you know, you could be getting okay therapy from an MSW. Depends what kind of therapy. You know, there's a lot of different options.
I just need someone who will listen to me describe all of the various ways in which I'm a jerk, and then just tell me to knock it off.
Oh, okay. I mean, do you want them to say more than just, tell me more?
I've been to that kind of a shrink where you say, like, you just sit there, and it's like you go on and on and on for like an hour, for 45 minutes, and the whole time he's just going, and then he's just scribbling it all down on a pad, and at the end you leave, and, like, you wonder if you've just been scammed by the janitor who happened to be in the room because he never said anything.
That would be psychoanalysis, I think, is what that sounds like.
Yeah, that's more of like a Woody Allen.
There's reality therapy, but I kind of figured that you would be writing that one off out of hand.
What this guy does, and I can't speak for, like, anybody, this guy was, I was referred to him by my old therapist who is now only doing couples stuff, and so she wasn't really available. Also, this guy, what his deal is that it is like a back and forth, where he makes observations and sort of theories. My only problem with this guy, and granted, I've only gone to two sessions so far, but my only problem with my new therapist is that... Like, I just sort of lay out, like, the problem. Like, I will just say, look, here's the problem. Like, blah, 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 blah. And I've got a conflict between blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And then I always react to the conflict by blah, 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 da, 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 da. And then I'm angry about blah, 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 whatever. And I just lay it out really specifically. I joked, and it was only a half joke, about taking a dry erase board in my first session so I could, like, literally diagram out, like, my problems so that we could, so we could just get up to speed and just get the... It's like, you know what it is?
You're like a dream client. This is excellent.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Here's my thing. You know when you watch a television show and they go, previously on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then they recap the last five episodes in like 30 seconds so that a casual viewer is up to speed. That's what I tried to do in my first session with this guy. I didn't bring a dry erase board, but I literally had written out like bullet point notes. And I'm like, here are the last 3 years of my life. Here are my two major problems. And here are two, whatever. Here are like two sub-points to each of my major problems. Here's how they make me feel. And this is the, whatever. This is the specific conundrum that I'm currently experiencing. And like, I thought it was all laid out really, like, clear.
Yeah.
But I don't know. My one problem, and we're really late here, so I apologize in advance. But my one, just to wrap it up, the problem I have with the guy is he doesn't really, rather than just listening to me telling him what the problem is, he seems to enjoy coming up with a host of really, like, exotic theories.
Well, obviously you don't know what your problem is because that's why you're seeing him. So you're telling him what you think, but that might not be your problem.
Well, maybe. It seems like he's really interested in coming up with really, really exotic hypotheses about, you know, where all this is coming from.
Yeah, you know, you might want to try adding in some simple behavior therapy. You know, basically you put a rubber band around your wrist, and every time you think a bad thought, you whap yourself real hard with the rubber band, and you train yourself not to have those bad thoughts.
You're not really a therapist, are you?
I certainly am.
Okay.
But there's a lot of options. Hey, I love your show. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Dave. All right. Yeah, imagine yourself in a bathtub full of worms. Don't touch your swimsuit area. Are we at the break here?
We got a break now.
I'll play us in the break.
Oh, darn it. I wanted to play us in the break.
Oh, well, but I've got something better to play.
I don't think you do.
Have you come to me, Bruce Hammond?
You win. Okay.
We have plays for Peter Carlin later. We haven't done a suburban perspective yet. Damn. Coming up, Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. And we'll ask the magical question, is this worse than the rapping Traffic Girl? You stay there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Radio Show.
And we've got Bank One on the run. What's in your wallet? It's not Capital One. It's us. So which car are you into? Never had us feeling so good, and we'll make lots of money forever. I can sing about trust.